Hello and welcome to the Reorg Europe podcast, your weekly roundup of the most interesting trends and developments in performing credit, stressed and distressed, restructuring and post-reorg in the European and CEMEA markets. It's Tuesday, April 9th, and I'm Andrew Ross. Coming up this week, we're going to discuss the latest news on OQ Chemicals after the German company's parent performed a U-turn on its proposed 200 million euro equity injection. Then we will run through the key highlights from the primary market this past week. But first, we're going to delve into the latest developments on Swedish debt collector Intrum's restructuring. We're now joined by Chief Credit Correspondent Chiara Elysio. Hi Chiara, Swedish debt collector Intrum has been under the spotlight since announcing the appointment of restructuring advisors in late March. What's the latest news on the credit?
Thanks Andrew. Yes, Intrum has been very topical indeed in the last few weeks. The company initially caught the market and investors by surprise with the appointment of restructuring advisors, Ulia Loke and Milbank. But I must say that from then on, investors have started organizing and have been taking a very proactive stance. First, they heard pitches from financial and legal advisors, but even before finalizing the advisory mandates, they split into two separate groups, each of which then appointed its own advisors. On one side is the front-end group, advised by Lazard and by Gottschall, which, as of last week, included about 50% of the 24 bondholders and a minority of the 25 investors. Bondholders in this group include Dimeter Capital, Lodbrok and Polus Capital. On the other side, there is a cross-holder group advised by Latham & Watkins and PJT Partners, which represents over 50% of investors across the whole stack, including holdings in the short-dated bonds. Finally, the RCF banks, with the Nordic banks at the helm, have also organized with Rothschild and Clifford Chance as advisors.
You mentioned that investors have taken a proactive stance. So what else are they doing apart from mandating advisors?
Well, some of the investors are coming up with their own plan to address Intrum's capital structure and its looming maturities, starting from the 24 bond, which matures in mid-July. Last week, we broke the news that the front-end group was working on a plan featuring a new money injection to repay about 50% of the company's RCF and to fund a tender offer at discount of the long-dated bonds, while the 24 and the 25 notes would be exchanged and extended into new secure notes at par. The cross-holder group has been behind so far, but they appear to be larger in size, and they would not be surprised to see them put forward their own proposal anytime soon.
So we have already got one creditor plan in the mix and possibly another one coming. But what is the company itself proposing?
Very good question. The company so far has not disclosed any proposal. However, management gave some indication during the latest investor update call the week before Easter. And among other things, they said that equity is not in the mix in any form or fashion for the time being. So the impression is that the company wants to go for a light touch deal and ideally a holistic solution that can address the entire capital structure rather than just some sets of bonds. In that regard, Intrum management also said on the same call that a repayment of the 24 notes is not the baseline plan, despite having liquidity enough to cover about 93% of the 24 and 25 maturities. This seems to suggest that an amend and extend could be the way forward for the company. However, they will also have to reduce leverage somehow, having failed to deliver on their deleveraging target a few times already.
It looks like there's a lot of moving plates and things are changing pretty quickly. What's the timeline for a deal?
Well, things are moving and need to move fast, given that Intrum faces its first bond maturity in mid-July, and it has a larger and complex capital structure with multi-currency RCF and bonds due each year from 24 up to 28. It is also worth noting that the bonds are actively trading in the secondary market. Last week, just across one day, there was over 45 million euros in aggregate of bonds trading, particularly in the 24, 25 and 26 notes, with smaller holdings of the 27 and 28 bonds also changing hands. So the situation may also change depending on secondary trading and whether more investors join either group.
Joining us now is REORG's Managing Editor, EMEA, Robert Schack. Hi, Rob. OQ Chemicals seemed close to securing a maturity extension via an A&E when all of a sudden the shareholder decided to walk away. What went wrong here and what will happen next?
Hi, Andrew. Yes, it's a pretty crazy situation. OQ Chemicals, formerly known as Oxeya, has roughly 900 million of term loans maturing in October this year. It was cutting it a bit fine, but the company was in the process of seeking a maturity extension via an A&E with lenders. To support the deal, parent OQ Group, which is in turn owned by the Omani government, had agreed to provide a 200 million equity injection, as well as increase the 100 million shareholder equity line it had already provided to the group in November last year to 125 million euros. The total shareholder commitments would have brought down the group's 5.1 turns of net leverage by over a turn to around 3.9 times, although leverage was expected to creep up to 4.7 times again based on lower expected 2024 budgeted EBITDA. However, at the start of this month, OQ Group withdrew both the proposed 200 million new equity commitment as well as the undrawn portion of the original 100 million shareholder equity line and told lenders it was prepared to hand over the company.
Wow, that must have been a shock for lenders. Why did they decide to walk away?
At this point, nobody seems to know, and lenders haven't been told why yet. The news triggered a roughly 15-point drop in the loans to around 80. OQ Group had invested around 700 million euros in 2013 to acquire the company from Advent and another 300 million in 2015 to repay the group's second lien debt. So it's facing a loss of over 1 billion euros on its investment. Some people speculated that the decision could be related to the group's main plant in Oberhausen, Germany, and reliability issues with its key suppliers. OQ Chemicals declared a force majeure at the site in March due to an operational disruption at its syngas supplier Air Liquide, which suffered a compressor failure. The company had already declared a force majeure at Oberhausen back in 2020 because of a similar issue.
So what happens next?
OQ Chemicals is working with Houlihan Lokey and Freshfields, whom it had mandated previously already to assist with the A&E, while shareholders are working with Alvarez & Marsal and Linklaters. Following the news of the shareholders walking away, the lenders organized and mandated Lazard and Aiken Gump. The company had 76 million euros of cash on hand as of December, while its 102.5 million RCF was undrawn. However, the revolver matures in July. The group also has an ABS facility, but this had benefited from a guarantee from the parent, which OQ Group has withdrawn as well. The parent had also agreed to provide a currency hedge until December 2025. Given that liquidity could get tight, the creditors will likely need to pick interest and then take control via debt for equity swap. OQ Group had forecast EBITDA falling to 120 million euros in 2024 from 134 million in 2023. However, trading in January and February was ahead of budget, and Moody's expects end markets to slowly recover this year, resulting in a gradual improvement in EBITDA and cash flow generation.
Thanks, Rob. We are now joined by Leverage Finance reporter Beatrice Mirolian. Hi, Beatrice. What's been happening in the primary market this past week?
So the primary market has been really busy this week, especially on the bond side. There was travel retail company Dufry, cruise operator TUI Cruises, chemicals company Synthomer, IMA, which is an Italian company that produces packaging machinery, and sub-metering provider Techem are all marketing bonds. Most of the proceeds will be used for refinancing, although IMA's bond will also support a dividend to repay a PIC facility and the payment of a shareholder loan. On the loan side, we have software company SUSE, S-U-S-E, repricing its Term Loan B, which it actually raised last summer. And telco joint venture MasOrange, which is a joint venture of MasMobil and Orange, is marketing a Term Loan B to refinance facilities drawn to upstream a payment to shareholders. Investors considering Techem's new notes said that the company's performance is very strong. It benefits from EU and government support for energy and efficiency measures. There are high barriers to entry in the sector, and it has a leading position. The company also has significant revenue visibility from long-term contracts with its customers. However, the investors were more focused on the expectations that the company will be sold soon. Partners Group and TechM's other sponsors are thought to be in negotiations for a sale to TPG and GIC. Covenants on the new notes make portability possible within certain leverage. Investors considering TUI Cruises notes highlighted the company has performed well since the pandemic. Occupancy rates improved last year and bookings for 2024 and next year are strong. The travel sector is very much in favour, which is why we're also seeing travel retailer Dufry in the market. And TUI benefits from targeting affluent customers, which provides some protection in economic downturns. TUI Cruises also generates cash, and there is some asset value in the vessels, although the notes are unsecured. Investors were generally comfortable with the group's overall performance, but they focus more on the pricing of the notes, which is a little bit difficult to assess because there are a few truly comparable credits in the market.
Reorg sends out a weekly roundup of content ranging from breaking news to in-depth financial and legal analysis, as well as the latest podcasts that you can listen to and webinars that you can register to attend. Sign up to Reorg on the Record newsletter now at reorg.com. More information on all the situations and events discussed in this podcast are available on our website, reorg.com. We hope you can join us next week for another Reorg Europe podcast. Until then, have a great week and thank you very much for listening.